Welcome to From the Studio from SPR Classical. I'm Jim Tevenin, and one of our most frequent guests is back with us again. Across the way from me is Zuhl Bailey. Good morning, Zuhl.
Good morning. Wonderful to be back.
It's a delight to have you.
Thank you.
However many times happens in the course of a year. This is kind of a signal event, though, that we're going to be talking about. First of all, the specifics of it. There are two concerts this weekend at the Barrister Winery, which is the traditional home of, or it's come to be the traditional home of Northwest Bach Fest. It's a pair of performances that features the Vega String Quartet, with, of course, a little help from Zuhl Bailey. And first of all, Zuhl, tell us a little bit about the quartet and your history with them.
Sure. Actually, this quartet was formed in China, and all of the original members were in their early teens, if not younger, and they met in school and formed a quartet. They subsequently came to the United States and continued their studies and kept the quartet going. And now, decades later, they're a wonderful quartet called the Vega String Quartet. They've had some member changes, of course, that happened in groups like that over decades. But this is a very special year because they're celebrating their 20th anniversary being at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And I've known them for over a decade, performed with them many, many times. They're an incredible group of individual musicians that have found each other and unite in the greatest form of chamber music, I think, the string quartet literature.
And their biographies read like a who's who and a where's where of the chamber music world, that they have performed all over the place. Something that is close to home, they have been broadcast on Performance Today, mm-hmm. a program that we are now very happily re-carrying for our listeners. So they will be at the Barrister for what, we can't say too much about this, but we will mention that this is kind of an end of the era performance, as the current form, as it were, of the Bach Fest will be undergoing some renovations. But fear not, music will keep coming your way. And we'll be talking about that rebirth in about a month or so. Mm-hmm. Things actually happen in that direction. Let's focus on these programs, though. Saturday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 3, both, of course, at the Barrister Winery, the traditional home these days of Northwest Bach Fest. And so there is music on the first program, on the Saturday program, that certainly you are most familiar with, having recorded it, the Anton Arensky String Quartet No. 2. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the piece and your particular insights on it, your background with it.
Well, I do have to say and remark about the fact that I think you just thoroughly confused everybody by talking about the vagueness of what this concert stands for. So let me just clarify slightly. You know, I've been here for 13 or so years now as the artistic director of Northwest Bach Fest, and we've evolved this organization to be quite a tuning fork for the entire region, both through education and concerts and different venues, now Music in Manitou, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've gone from four or five events back 15 years ago to a year-round series that brings in a multitude of vantage points for the arts. So the thing that we have broadened from is our brand, because our brand was Northwest Bach Fest, Bach being centric to that. And now we're about to relaunch an even more evolved view of the arts and classical music and other things. And this concert with the Vega String Quartet at Barrister Winery this weekend is both an exclamation point on an amazing journey that has brought us to this place, and also with a lot to come. So the rebranding, the rebirth, the things that are to come are imminent. And this is celebratory weekend, is to say we now stand on the shoulders of giants, Northwest Bach Fest, to move forward and to carry the torch in a way that we can better service the Spokane and region. And so I wanted to bring in my friends to do so, an incredible string quartet, the Vega Quartet, and play pieces that are kind of a collective of where we've come from. That would include Arensky, of course, and Haydn, and Mark O'Connor, and Boccherini, and things that are very, very personal to both myself as well as the string quartet, the Vega quartet. And so you asked about the Arensky, so here we go. This is a piece that is very interesting because it is a change-up of the voicing of what a string quartet is usual to present, being that it's a cello, a viola, and two violins. In the evolution of the cello, over time, the cello has actually evolved from a bass to incorporate the viola register, as well as with the lengthening of the fingerboard, the violin register as well. It is the same span as our most perfect musical instrument, the human voice. So Anton Arensky decided to change up the sonic landscape of the quartet literature by taking out one of the violins and adding another cello. So it's violin, viola, and two cellos. And the two cellos braid a sonic range that is out of this world. The depth and the soaring qualities that a cello already has times two really do create a canvas that I'm shocked that other composers have not emulated. There are cello quintets like Schubert and Boccherini quintets where there's a quartet with another cello, but to reduce and grow internally with the way he did it, violin, viola, and two cellos, is kind of a singular piece. In fact, I don't know many more that have this combination. And he does it in homage to Tchaikovsky. He's obviously a Russian composer, Anton Arensky, but there's a chant element to it, which is very soothing and hypnotic. And I can't wait for this audience to hear both the friendships and the collaboration of my relationship with the Vega. I join them, of course, but a composer that's not as often played as it should be.
All right. And likewise, you were mentioning about the whole history and the whole scope of music for quartet. That is certainly present in the opening work.
Correct.
Which is the music of Joseph Haydn.
Yes.
Essentially recognized as the father of the string quartet.
That's right. And that's exactly why I wanted to. Of course, Bach is the alpha and the omega in global terms, the beginning and the end of as we know, of classical music. But Haydn was the creator of how we view and see and hear the string quartet literature. So it was very important to me to kind of service that and bring that and showcase that, which this quartet is not often played, but it's the first of this, of what he wrote, 60 or 70 string quartets. I mean, he was voracious in his output, and so much so that he scared Beethoven. And I several years ago, Kurt Nickinen and Scott Rawls and I played the string trios of Beethoven, and they're five. And what makes those so special is that was Beethoven writing for strings to not be compared to Haydn. And so you think of Beethoven on this high mountain, but he too was fearful about being compared to the father of string quartet writing, Joseph Haydn.
He pulled a Brahms, but in terms of the string quartet, just being frightened away from them.
But you say that, but it's funny to me because when you say Brahms was afraid of Beethoven. And so instead of writing quartets and being compared to Beethoven as Schumann, who's another feature this weekend of the Vega Quartet, that he said, I can't have my first string quartet be compared to Beethoven, so I'm going to write sextets. So it's brilliant. You know, you create a form that is your own, and you sharpen your tools and you bring it out. And of course, some of the greatest chamber works are those sextets. Some of the most virtuoso small chamber works are those string trios. Mm. But when they all got to their string quartets, they all paid homage to Joseph Haydn. And it all began with number one, which is what we're featuring and starting off the series this weekend with.
All right. And then that program is rounded off with something that warms my heart. It's from the Opus 44 of Felix Mendelssohn, his string quartet in D.
And I did that also because without Mendelssohn, we wouldn't have Bach. So that's a complete hat tip, saying thank you for your affluence and your talent and your dedication to getting things published and performed and using his own money to do so. Without Mendelssohn, we wouldn't have a Bach Fest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that is the fare for Saturday night. And as always, the Sunday program is a different rep entirely. And a couple of interesting things in there. Another quintet, this time Luigi Boccherini's.
Correct. And so that's the tilt of showing what is normally done with a quartet and an extra cello, as in the Schubert cello quintet, of course. Boccherini wrote, I think, 100 of these pieces. Luigi Boccherini was an incredible, maybe the best virtuoso cellist of all time, in addition to composing. And the string writing is very effervescent and champagne popping cork celebratory. And that's why I wanted to do this piece, because it starts off in a very, gosh, we're very grateful and lucky to have a canvas like Spokane, Northwest Bach Fest, where we've come from, so much to look forward to. Two cellos together, better than one cello.
Absolutely.
And this is a piece that in 2004, I was able to perform with the great Janos Starker in his final performance before he retired. And that performance was actually recorded. So people can go and listen to this Boccherini quintet in C major on YouTube or on Amazon or what, download it, Spotify, whatever. It is a celebratory work, and I found it very fascinating that he wanted this to be on his final concert. So there we have it again. This is not our organization's final concert, but it's definitely a gear shift to a rewiring, not a retiring, and that is with the Boccherini C major quintet.
On the program as well, there's music of one of those composers who is essentially forgotten by history and is fortunately enjoying something of a revival these days, Erwin Schulhoff. And this is not not a string quartet per se, but five dance pieces, essentially, for a string quartet.
You know, every program, there has to be something that's a little different vantage point, and that is this. You're correct. He is a very appreciated but underrepresented composer. And so I would like people to be scared looking at the not familiar name to them, but once they hear the sounds of Schulhoff, they will be satisfied greatly and better for it. And of course, that right after the Boccherini will be a wonderful juxtaposition of sounds and musical language.
Now, there's also Robert Schumann's string quartet on the program. I'm not doing things in order here because it's saving the most intriguing piece for last. Anything to say about the Schumann?
Well, Schumann was, of course, most comfortable in his chamber music repertoire, and he was very uncomfortable writing symphonies and larger scale things. Actually, because of Clara's father, he wrote larger scale works. So from Clara, his wife's father's standpoint, he could be taken seriously. But his most magnificent impact was the chamber music setting. But I did this for that very reason. It's a piece that's not normally on the typical shows, but Bach revered, excuse me, I just said it, I gave the punchline away. Schumann revered and adored and studied Bach like no other. And he even wrote piano accompaniments to the Bach cello suites. Yes. And so again, another more reverence towards Bach, where we came from, Northwest Bach Fest, with a composer that is really unmatched in his intimacy in chamber music literature and writing. And because of Schumann, we have Brahms. So it's all intertwined. I mean, Schumann's the one who said Brahms, every note Brahms wrote as if Beethoven continued to live.
And that is a really wonderfully appropriate way to close this program and this particular aspect of Northwest Bach Fest. I have saved the penultimate piece, though, for last, because there's definitely more to the story than meets the eye. It's a piece by Mark O'Connor called Bluegrass.
Correct. Well, Mark O'Connor has been here with us at our at Music in Manitou series. He's played, of course, in Spokane many times, is from this region. And bluegrass, the way to use the instruments in different ways, this is where we've kind of been tilting also with our series to showcase the magnificence of these instruments and that they can do much more or much different than just play Bach and Schumann and Boccherini and Arinsky. And so in this particular case, the Vega Quartet will showcase a singular movement from his quartet. And it's also kind of alluding to things to come, because I'm in the midst of a commissioning project with Mark that Spokane might be seeing sometime in the future. Wink, wink.
Wink, 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 nod, nod. There, that's a good place to leave it. Zul Bailey has been with us today on From the Studio, talking about two concerts coming up this weekend. The swan song, as it were, of Northwest Bach Fest as its former self, and featuring the Vega Quartet along with Zul in just a wonderful variety of music that, as you said, kind of forms the summation of what has been.
It's going to be a chapter change, not a swan song. This is all amazing things to come, and this is the celebratory punctuation mark this weekend with the Vega Quartet.
Excellent. I stand corrected happily. And Zul, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.